welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. Great to be with you.
It is always wonderful to have you here.
Thank you.
Get ready for another episode of Higher Ed.
You know, by the way, I should tell you that we have a lot of fans all over the place. Do you know that just the other day I was out in Midland, Texas,
yeah,
which is in the middle of nowhere in West Texas. Beautiful place, though. And I met some of our listeners.
Really?
They said,
wait a minute,
Higher Ed. We listen to Higher Ed. And then they said how much they loved you. And
wow.
And wow, Jennifer Staton, so wonderful. And I said, well, and what do you think about me? And then the conversation came to an end.
I doubt that very much.
You have many fans.
But,
in
well,
Midland.
Thank you, as I know you do too. So we say hello to Midland.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody all over the place who listens to Higher Ed. And, you know, I should remind everybody, if you ever have an idea for an episode or a topic you want to hear us talk about, be sure to email me. It's jstayton, STAYTON, at KUT.org, and we will try to incorporate that into future episodes.
We've been doing that a lot, right?
We've gotten a lot of great questions from listeners coming up over this summer. We're going to be hearing some more from listeners and tackling some of those questions.
And
so
keep them coming. And I have puzzlers. People send me puzzlers now.
Yes.
I'm using their puzzlers now. I don't have to even think about puzzlers anymore.
Right.
They send them to me and I like them.
It's sort of like a crowdsourced podcast
exactly.
Now. We're getting lots of information.
You don't even have to be here. I'm leaving.
Okay. We're going to go grab a bite. You guys carry on. No, actually, it's interesting because this episode is based on something that you, Ed, said in a previous episode.
Oh, no.
It's okay. It's all right. we got onto the topic of we're talking about sort of when formal education comes to an end.
Yes.
You know, whether that's high school, mm-hmm. college, maybe graduate school or professional school, and thinking about literally what is the last course that somebody should take or might want to take or might be inspired to take.
What a great topic. Where did that come from?
That was from you.
Ah, genius.
If you only had one class left that you could take.
Right.
What, I always hesitate to use should, but what might you want to consider for that one last course?
This is a great excuse for us to remind all of our listeners that although our formal education will come to an end eventually, our education must persist if we are people who are genuinely committed to lifelong learning. And so one of the interesting things to think about really circles around, you know, how are you going to create your own courses after your formal education?
Uh-huh.
But here we are at that delicate interface between when the formal ends and then the unknown and your own self-education begins. I think it's a neat thought, you know, what that last course is. Do you remember the last course you took?
Let's see. In college, mm-hmm. You know what I did? Spring of senior year, I decided I was going to give myself some fun.
Right.
And I took a course. I had not taken any art history, but I took a course that did not have a prerequisite, but it was about the architecture of a nearby city.
Wonderful.
And so we did a lot of research and looking at photographs, and we spent all day walking all over the city and researching stuff.
Yep.
And I took a sociology class about criminals and criminology.
Wow, look at you.
Both of those were way outside my major, but they just looked interesting.
My last formal class was, you know, research in mathematics when I was finishing my PhD. So I guess that doesn't really count. As an undergraduate, though, it was a philosophy class called Human Life and History.
Oh, a little light reading?
Oh, my goodness. It was one of the best classes I ever took. But for me, you know, first of all, I love what you did, which is say, okay, I've done my checklist stuff. Now let me explore worlds that just interest me. I wish that more people do that, especially more students. That's the point of the liberal arts, after all, is to engage in issues and topics that either we're not familiar with or that just somehow call to us. So that's one thing I love. The other thing I think is kind of cool, and I taught this, you know, on the other side of the desk in the classroom, are these kind of capstone experiences in your field. When I have taught these in the past, I've always tried to pull together all the ideas, in my case, mathematics. So all or many ideas, not all the ideas, but many ideas of mathematics into one course. So you see the confluence of ideas rather than them, these random things like in math, there's like linear algebra and there's abstract algebra and real analysis and all, you know, differential equations. I love to kind of build topics that incorporate all of those ideas. And at Southwestern University, it's really cool because our capstones actually often involve some kind of original element to them, whether it's original scholarship, original research, original creativity. And it's great when I attend these capstone presentations and the faculty will bombard our poor students with these questions. And the students are able to really give thoughtful and articulate responses because they have immersed themselves in really, really deep ways. And I love that. It's not just taking a class. It's really engaging in something that's they're passionate about intellectually.
You know, one memory I have of some of those courses senior year where I was kind of letting myself spread my wings and try out some new things, talking about sort of the end of formal education. I wasn't sure if I was going to go on in school. I wound up going to graduate school, but I didn't know that at the time.
Right.
Half of my mind was definitely loving the work in the classroom. We had to do two big research papers, writing those papers. And then the other half of my mind was, oh my gosh, this is the end of my formal education. I have to go out in the real world. Ah. And it was sort of, you know, those that end of formal education time, it was unsettling.
You know, I had overpointed as an undergraduate and taken so many extra courses that my last semester of my senior year, I only had to take three classes. Actually, I could have taken fewer, but I only took three. And I spent so much time on my next door neighbor's veranda in the dorm that I lived in. And she taught me cribbage, and I just was playing a lot of cribbage my senior year. And I must say that I remember sitting out there on the veranda and just having lots of fun playing lots of cribbage.
A lot of those memories and experiences from our education time are not going to be something from the text or something from a paper or something from a lecture. They're going to be the co-curricular outside the classroom moments that can sometimes have more impact.
And that's why there's so much power to a residential liberal arts experience, because you really are living with other human beings, and a lot of your education is actually happening in the residence halls, in your co-curricular activities, on the sports field, in the performance halls. That's where a lot of learning happens. And, you know, I think it's important for educators to be mindful of that and also to celebrate and promote that.
All right, I'm ready for some learning now. I think it's new puzzler time.
Well, you know, again, I'm still poaching from our listeners.
All right, go for it.
Who reach out to me and send me puzzles that I never heard of.
Awesome.
And I always figure them out, though.
You do?
I do. Now, I'm not going to tell you how long it's taken
okay.
me, but this is a nice one. This is one that I actually think is kind of fun.
Okay.
I'm going to give you four digits.
Okay.
And those are 2, 3, 4, and 5.
2, 3, 4, 5.
Right.
Got it.
So those are four digits. Okay.
Uh huh.
And then I'm going to give you two symbols.
Okay.
The equal sign.
Mm-hmm.
And the plus sign.
Okay.
Now the challenge is, can you use each of these digits and each of the symbols just once and only once?
Okay.
And using no other numbers and no other symbols, can you create a correct math statement? So you can use the digit 2, the digit 3, the digit 4, the digit 5, the symbol equal sign, and the symbol plus. You must use each of those. You can only use them once. You must use them all. You can't use any other symbols or any other numbers. And can you make a correct math statement? That is the question.
Okay.
She's stroking
well,
her chin,
yes,
ladies and gentlemen, and you're thinking.
Well, my initial thought, the answer has to be yes. Otherwise, it probably wouldn't be a puzzler.
Well, but, to prove that the answer is no, it would be more
right,
interesting.
Right. I've got a couple of strategic approaches in my head. So I'm going to kind of mull those over, and then I'll be very interested.
Would you like
to
share one with the audience as a hint?
Sure.
I mean, we haven't talked about this, by the way,
right,
folks.
So we have not. So
this is live thinking.
So one of them is the digits 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm assuming that those don't have to exist as discrete digits. In other words, we've got 2, 3, 4, 5. However, those could be combined with each other, combined to make other numbers made up of those digits. I haven't quite worked that math out yet, but...
Sure. I mean, if you want to, for example, you could say, you could put the 2 and the 3 together and get 23, mm-hmm. and then put the plus sign in and put 4, and then 23 plus 4 would equal 5.
Does not equal 5.
So that's not a true one, but right. you could do that.
So
that
I'm
would
thinking
be okay.
that playing
well, that's interesting.
Around... With the digits themselves may work.
I love that you said play and it's a math puzzler.
Yeah.
You know, play and math. I wish more people, if every one of our listeners would tell one of their friends that math is play, of course, you know, thinking is play, the world would be a better place.
Well, so that makes me think about our topic today, which is sort of, you know, the end of formal education and that, you know, in quotes, last course. Maybe... the last course that every undergraduate should take should be something about taking learning into the world with you or making learning fun or, you know, moving beyond formal education. I mean, do we need a final course for everybody that sort of helps usher people out of the formal realm and into lifelong learning and into an idea that this actually can be fun?
Well, you know, this is a shameless plug, but, you know, I have this course at Southwestern University that I really enjoy, which is called Effective Thinking and Creative Puzzle Solving. And I call it the Seinfeld of classes because it's about nothing. It's not a math class. It's general education. But it's all about how to amplify our own thinking, our own creativity, and how to look at the world and probe it in a deeper way and just to harness practices of the mind to allow us to be deeper thinkers and more creative and more imaginative people. And I think that would be kind of a neat course, although I like to say that that's a good course to take kind of early on in your formal education because it can impact your other. I think, you know what, it's all about impactful learning. Any course that is going to offer a true impactful learning is one that you can take basically anytime because it should then impact what you're doing. It's those courses that we sometimes are forced to take in some programs where we just are doing it because we have to and not because it's impactful. Those are the ones that are kind of sad. I think it's an interesting exercise for everyone, including all of our listeners, to just fantasize about what would the ideal last course, formal course, be for that person. My guess is you'll get as many different answers as we have different listeners. And it's interesting because once you've formulated that, then there's a challenge. What are you going to do about it? Can you now somehow learn that suite of ideas or embark upon a journey into that area on your own now and make that last course actually happen, which is really exciting.
Hey, if anybody does that, send me an email about that and let us know. And we'll talk about that in a future episode of Higher Ed. Just email me, jstaton@kut.org. And Ed, thank you so much for helping us keep learning fun and keeping our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at kut.org. You can also find Higher Ed on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT News.